Okay, guys, welcome back. Kevin here. After talking about nutrition 3.0, like the conceptual framework, now I want to dive into a little bit deeper into finding the right eating pattern. Again, I want to preference this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I think this book has a very, very good framework about how to approach nutrition, what to eat. And then my goal today is just to give you guys a high-level overview. And then if you want the specific details, please go read a book and then come up with your own specific plans on, hey, am I under-nourished? Am I over-nourished? Am I under-muscled? Kind of dial back or dial in your eating pattern from that point on. So on a larger scale, at least in the U.S., the leading calorie intake, right, in the U.S. is grain-based dessert, which is very interesting to me. That's why I made a note of that, right? Is those grain-based, let's say, cake, pie, like those, like, you know, pastries, right? Those are the leading calorie intake for the U.S., which is surprising, right? Like, you would say, oh, yeah, it's probably meat. It's probably, I don't know, steak, right? But it's actually desserts or breads and stuff, right? So I kind of want to cut this conversation into a few different parts as a summarization, if you will. So the first thing is how much we eat. Secondly is diets, right? Don't want to cover too much on diet because it's very, very individualized. And then third is macronutrient. Again, I'm not a chemist, I'm not a biochemist, or just a high-level overview. And then towards the end, I write down a lot of notes on fasting because I personally fast myself, and I give you guys some insight from Peter, and we'll call it a day. So this will be a little bit more longer of an episode, so we'll see. So first thing first is how much we should eat. I've read different books and I've watched different documentary, right? Like there are different ways of dieting around this, right? There are older people that only eat, I don't know, like an oatmeal plus a couple blueberries on top twice a day, and then their reasoning was, let me see if I can remember, their reasoning was for my body to be resting most of the time, and then if my body don't have to work that hard to digest food, then that means I have more quote-unquote fuel in the tank for my body to live longer. I personally hated that idea, to be honest. When I first watched the documentary, I was like, this doesn't make sense, right? But there has been a few, right, maybe more than a few studies that are done on, say, monkeys have some results, right? So one of them that I wrote down here, Peter referenced in the book, is the for monkeys that fed a caloric restriction diet compared to other monkeys that eat whatever they want, whenever they want. I think the cutoff point was at 25% fewer calories, right? And then the results are the calorie-restricted monkey live a longer, healthier life, and then their brain tends to be healthier as well. In a similar study, things were done and then there was no specific results at all, right? But the thing that's different was the first study, the monkey was given junk food on the other side, right? So they can eat as much french fries or hamburgers, so to speak. I don't know if they actually fed them hamburgers, but they can eat as much junk food as possible. But the other side was eating healthy food, 25% less calorie. And then the second one was a little bit more of a free-for-all, right? So the takeaway message here is the quality of the food matter, right? And what Peter is saying is if you're eating very high-quality whole food ingredients, you know, fasting or caloric restriction might not be needed. So that's a very interesting tidbit right there. And then in terms of diets, right, let's say, I don't know, vegan, vegetarian, carnivore, different, like, bulletproof diet, whatever that means. You can still technically, according to Peter, be overnourished if you are one of those diets, right? One of the things that I love, right? I read this on a book years ago. I think it was in China study. Like, you can call yourself a vegan by eating French fries 24/7, right? Like, technically, you are eating potatoes, right? You are eating plant-based ingredients, but how healthy can you be? Who knows, right? And then I would imagine the self-proclaimed vegan that only eat French fries will probably be overweight as well, right? So, just on a larger note, so far is quality of food matter, and then not eat junk food matter as well. Okay, so we're gonna put a pin in that. We're gonna dive into a couple or a few macronutrients. So the first one is alcohol. Peter recommends you have less than 7 servings per week. What I mean is, I personally don't drink, right, for this reason, right? But maybe like 7 shots a week or 7 glasses of wine, something like that, right? Alcohol is pretty widely consumed, right? People like to drink, they like to have a good time. But the problem with alcohol is they are very calorically dense, meaning like a shot or like a wine has a lot of calories in there, and there's not a lot of nutritional benefit in alcohol, or health benefit, right? They're quote unquote like candy, like empty calories, right? So that's something that we should be more aware of is alcohol is pretty much universally 100% bad for you, right? There's like 0 to none benefit of drinking alcohol. Okay, so we can move on from that. Second big bucket is carbohydrates, right? It is the primary source of energy for us, and then most carbs got broken into glucose, and then I'm actually, are very, very keen on getting a glucose monitor for myself. Not because I'm pre-diabetic or diabetic right now, just give us a detailed view of our blood sugar increase after eating a certain meal will help in this array of living longer, right? I think there was a startup in the US called Levels. They were on an invite basis. I think it cost like $400 or something. So as we go through, right, maybe end of 2023, maybe next year, there's going to be over-the-counter or commercial glucose monitor on the market. I think everybody should be the one that, if you're serious about increasing your health span, you need to do that, right? Say, hey, after my morning coffee, my blood glucose level shoot up by this much. Okay. And then compared to my morning juice, they went up even more. Okay, so I should probably avoid eating that in the morning, right? So that is kind of give you like a baseline for preventing, issues with your metabolism, right? Getting diabetes, chronic disease. So carbohydrates are, what's the term? Like, can be used to fuel your body and exercise and different activities, right? And typically when we exercise, right, we typically burn our carbs first and then fat later. And I did not know this before. Now I do is rice and oatmeal can also cause a huge glucose rise. And then whenever you eat too much carb, you need to kind of have a good night's sleep for your body to break down the carbs, right? For, in a sense, the glucose digestion. I did not know this, right? So now I think about it, it makes sense in a sense that if you're having bad diets, if you're having hamburgers and pizza all day, and then you stay up late, and then your body will be, swimming in glucose because you don't really have good enough sleep to digest it, right? The next big macronutrients is protein. Peter recommend that we eat 1 pound of protein for 1 pound of body weight. In a sense that we want to probably have, I don't know, 4 servings per day. And then I was actually surprised by this. So when I was trying to utilize this, you know, macronutrient tip for me, it sounded like I should be having protein with every meal that I take. And then on top of that, I have 1 or 2 protein snacks, right? Whether that's a very high quality venison jerky or, I don't know, tofu sticks, right? And most people, according to Peter, like they don't need to worry about having too much protein. And typically, what he's doing is 2 protein meal, 1 protein snack, 1 protein drink. I'm personally not a big fan of protein drinks, so I'm probably going to do 2 protein snacks. But plant-based protein is probably fine as well, but they have less amino acid in meat, which helps you to build muscle. And if you don't eat meat, you probably need to have protein supplement. Like that's 100% needed. And there are several, a study also shows that like the more protein that you consume, you actually can keep more of a healthy body mass. So protein is one of the most important thing that we should do. And if you're aging, right? If you're, you know, like started going into 40, 40 going into 50, 50 into 60, you need to boost your protein intake. In reverse, it will slow down the muscle loss that comes with aging, right? So the take-home message that I had with the protein section was we can probably eat fewer calories in total, but most of that should be protein for health and longevity, right? And then the last macronutrient group that I made a note on, which I think is interesting to talk about, is fat, right? Fat is very controversial, had a lot of bad reps in terms of raising cholesterol. But essentially what fat does is it's an efficient fuel for oxidation. So what is oxidation, right? So it's a process of breaking down macronutrient. And it's fat is an essential part of the building blocks as well. And most food that we eat has fat. And the default fat rate is roughly 30% each. So whatever food that you intake, maybe not so much plants, right? There's probably a 30% fat. Maybe you are looking at cooking oil or olive oil or avocado or nuts or peanuts, right? And that's where most of our fat intake should come in, should like come from, according to Peter, is to eat more olive oil, right? Eat more avocado and then eat more nuts. One caveat that I wrote down there, I personally don't use it very, very, very much, is sunflower oil, butter, and lard. You want to avoid those as much as possible. And then avoid corn and soybean. And then increase intake on like very lean fish like salmon, food in that nature. So those are the big macronutrient group. I personally like to eliminate alcohol. I don't drink at all. And carbs, boost protein, and watch my fat intake as well. So that's kind of like the ratio that I choose to go with, but you get to make a choice for yourself. And for fasting purposes, I want to end this episode on fasting. I personally tried to fast. This is probably, oh gosh, the fourth year that I've been doing it. So I personally don't eat breakfast, and then my first meal is usually around 12, maybe 11, maybe 1. So that will be roughly 16-8, right? So 8-hour feeding window, 16 hours of fasting window. I sometimes break it by, you know, like eating like some nuts in the morning or one of those like protein snacks, or right? Like a lean turkey stick. But I try to avoid eating anything sweet in the morning so that the increase of glucose doesn't break my fast, right? So here's what Peter thinks about fasting. It should be used, but it should be used carefully. And it's going on an individual, let's say, basic. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just here to kind of tell you what I do and to summarize the information on a very high level, right? So scientifically, we all know that good things happen when we're not eating. So what are the good things, right? Is the insulin level drops, and then there is not a lot of incoming calories that trigger an insulin response. So your body is saying this, again, right? If I eat anything sweet in the morning, then it will trigger an insulin response, and then my body goes into work, right? And your liver will be empty of fat. And then typically, it takes about 3 days of not eating for your body to trigger a 100 fasting day that start burning fat. I have not done anything long-term fasting as of yet, because I probably need medical supervision. But I've been doing a daily 16-day fasting for us, right? So that's kind of like the difference between short-term fasting and long-term fasting. The short-term fasting window are usually 6 to 8 to 10 hours of feeding window. The other half, or you know, more than half of the 24 hours are non-feeding. And the goal here is to limit, you know, caloric intake, right? We covered that before. There are some studies that found that human trials, 16-8, which is one that I'm on right now, did find benefits. But typically, 16 hours without food is not long enough, right? The bad thing, which I'm trying to compensate, right, every single day, is you are almost guaranteed to miss protein target. So that's kind of like the delicate dance that I'm personally trying to figure out right now, is how do I boost up my protein intake while not ingesting a lot of meat, right? I eat meat pretty much most meals just to kind of try to hit that target. And then last week, this is actually very, very recent, I found this packet of pinto beans and black beans pre-cooked. I can buy them, like, and then they taste really good. It's from Whole Foods. And I just toss them into the microwave for like a minute, and then they're warm and they're ready to go, right? That's something that I can probably use to kind of boost up my plant intake, kind of cut down the fat session as well. So we'll keep you posted on how that goes down the line. But the goal here is to understand is, hey, if you're fasting, you need to even be more conscious about your protein intake. That's just the take home message, right? If you want to go more extreme fasting, again, this is not medical advice, but in the book, Peter does mention that it's a trend of alternate day fasting where you eat normally for one day, the next day eat nothing, eat normally for the next day eat nothing. The result is the subjects, right, can lose weight, but the downside is that they can also lose lean mass as well, right? So here's the take home message is the frequent fasting might not be recommended for most people, but fasting as a concept can be useful for patients where other dietary method did not work, right? So if I can summarize my personal takeaway for these chapters is a couple of things, right? First of all, if you're energy balanced, diet don't matter that much, right? If you are not over-nourished or under-nourished and then you have sufficient body mass and then you are trying to maintain it, you are probably in a sweet zone where you don't need to compensate for, say, oh, you need to boost up your protein intake and cut back on fat, right? But the protein is the most important macronutrient out there, and then you need to pay very, very specific attention to not losing muscle mass. And that's the one thing that I'm going to probably work on the most right now is exercise routines, right? And then there's different ways of doing it. Peter went into details in his book. I'm probably going to pick up a couple of things to kind of share with you guys and then kind of go from there. So that is the wrap on food and eating patterns. Hopefully that was helpful. Oh yeah, and on top of that, I tried to cut down, you know, trying to not drink like zero alcohol, and then more protein, less carb. Trying to supplement my plant-based protein as well, and then watch fat, right? And that's pretty much it. So that's my basic takeaway for these episodes. So hopefully you find this helpful. This is a longer one, and then I will talk to you on the next one. Bye.